Welcome back, and we are here now with the Zoning Hearing Board. We have members with us this evening, and I'll turn the floor over to them. Please introduce yourself, and you can begin your program.
Mark Sidroga, Zoning Officer.
John Tallman, Zoning Board.
Chira Girawa, Vice Chair.
M. Jonathan Garzillo, Zoning Board.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it. Our presentation is quite simple, actually. It was a relatively easy year. Over the years, we've had more applications than we did last year. In our summary here, you can see that we had 14 applications that were presented. Half were residential, half were commercial. 12 were variances, 2 were special exceptions. We approved 6, denied 4, and there were 4 that were withdrawn. So basically, I think the most consistent thing that we run into is signage. These days, that's not uncommon on a zoning board, from my understanding. Shragi, do you want to add anything?
No.
Signing related to insufficient size for them, or?
Correct. Yeah, primarily. And number of signs also, specifically Lucid Motors was one of the ones that we denied because they were asking for extra signs. As it turns out, some more signage became available for them, and I believe they got what they needed. So it all kind of came together, but the example was they wanted a third sign in the back of their building, which faces the turnpike for advertising, and that was denied simply because it didn't fit the rules.
So it's not for visibility or wayfinding, it's for marketing and advertising.
It clearly is. Yeah. Do you guys have questions for us?
Okay.
Well, our meetings haven't been that exciting, frankly.
I didn't know if we're going to a next slide, so I didn't know if this was the.
The next slide. Yeah, this is just the attendance, right? So you can see where the board members who showed up, who didn't show up.
We know they're dedicated.
And we had 10 meetings, right? So down the bottom, 8 to 10, 10 to 10. That's all that slide is.
I would point out a continuation of a previous pattern. If you divide variances into dimensional use, we have consistently, most of our approvals have been more dimensional than use. That it's a pattern that we've pointed out in the past, and that pattern has, based on that previous slide, that pattern has maintained. We tend, if we give approvals, they tend to be more things you're allowed to do, just maybe a little bit different dimension than the code permits, but we tend to be pretty strict on actual use variances. That has been consistent over the years, and that chart shows that we've stayed consistent with that.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. So what we see at the Planning Commission are typically properties that are trying to be overdeveloped. Meaning that from an engineering standpoint, you're given parameters about your distances from boundary lines and the distances that the building can actually occupy and where you can grade and so on. You haven't seen a lot of those types of issues arise. Not from the number that I saw, and I looked quickly in advance. It doesn't seem like you had too many, if any, that dealt with that type of issue.
Well, in reality, they all kind of, so the dimensional balances all deal with that type of issue in the sense that, for instance, with signage, that doesn't go before the Planning Commission necessarily.
Right.
But it still is 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag, right?
Because, that's precisely correct.
Because it's still asking for much more than the code allows, whereas the Planning Commission usually sees the things where, they want to put this huge addition on, and it goes into the side yard, and the building is just,
they don't want to allow the adequate exit roads and so on. Okay.
Right, and as liaison, I mean, these guys work really hard, and they do a really good job, and they have one of the best zoning solicitors in the business, which is Mark Jonas, there's not a lot of denials, but there are a lot of conversations, between solicitors and, you know, as an application develops, that really kind of makes them, you know, able to do the job that they're tasked by us to do.
Which could result in some of the withdrawals, Greg, you're right.
Right, yeah.
So you see there's four withdrawals, and as it gets discussed, I think the applicant realizes it may take a step back.
Right, and we have seen, from our standpoint, we don't like when, so when Mark, as the zoning officer, you know, makes the determination and they come back to appeal, we don't like that, because unlike a zoning variance, which is specific to a particular property, you know, if the zoning board were to overrule the zoning officer's determination, that goes to everybody throughout the township. So I think from our standpoint, we've got a really good crew on this board. They work really hard. Some folks have been on there for a very long time and really get it. Shiragi was new to this. This is all sort of kind of new to her, but she has not taken very long to kind of figure out what their job is. And there's a lot of good questions that come from the board. You don't have everybody here tonight. I mean, Vivian Pekin and Mark DePillis aren't here, so but they all do really super job.
Also, as a testament to just the vetting process, so beginning with the zoning office and making sure the applications are appropriate and then sitting on to zoning and the withdrawals that happen, the denials. There hasn't been an appeal that's been won against the zoning hearing board, has there? An appeal?
Not in recent years.
Yeah. We're undefeated.
And we're not talking about the village of.
I was about to say.
We're not even going to count that. But that's just a testament to just making sure that you stick to the letter, stick to the ordinance, and not deviate. De minimis is another issue. So, yeah, understanding that. But I think it's a testament to the quality of the board members and to Mark Zadroga and vetting properly, and that it's been successful that appeals just don't happen.
Yeah, so the only appeal on here is of Rick. If you guys,
yeah.
Yes. So other than that, but there were no appeals.
And I do not believe they will be successful.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion based on the wall that's in there.
And to reiterate what you said, we want to thank our solicitor and Mark Zadroga.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't do our job as well as we do if they weren't the best there is at what they do. And that makes all of this a lot easier.
Thank you.
The two Marks make our jobs possible.
I'm always interested in seeing the decisions that are made, because it helps guide us with, are we missing something? Is there something that we need to amend, a language amendment or something in our zoning code? So I'm always interested in seeing the variances and special exceptions that come in, because it guides us as well. Is there something that maybe we haven't thought of yet that we should consider? So with the signage, if a lot came in and they were getting denied, and like, should we reevaluate that, or are we on target with how we stand with how our ordinance is? So I'm always interested in seeing the decisions made by the zoning hearing board,
and also any input they may have for the comp plan.
That as well.
Going forward, because that will drive zoning decisions, mm-hmm. master zoning decisions, which ultimately they'll have to weigh in on from time to time. So if there is anything in that process that you want to provide input on, it's wide open.
Have you put anything in the comp plan about chickens? Because we've had a surprising number of chickens.
Well, not yet. But we have had discussions about it. You know, maybe like the Candlebrook development is not the place to raise fowl.
Well, as you can see, chickens are a special exception. Yeah. So it puts a low bar to clear for an applicant for us to approve, whether that's a point where you want to look at. But obviously, with it being a special exception as opposed to a variance, people asking for chickens are probably going to get chickens, as the code currently is written with it.
But no roosters. And
yeah, there are limits. There are limits in the number, for those that are watching. There are limits as far as the number, and there are limits as far as gender.
There is some activity in Harrisburg that may ultimately affect us. There is a study being done based upon a piece of legislation that was dropped but died last session regarding residential zoning being controlled at the state level, not at the local level. And there is a study being done now. Reportedly, the report will be done by September. We'll find out more in a couple of weeks when we're all in Hershey at the PSAS conference. But there is great concern because the proposal does not give considerations in any way, shape, or form to infrastructure improvement requirements or anything related to that. So essentially, you could build second houses on parcels without consideration for the stormwater impact, the dimensional impact, or anything of that nature. It was driven out of Bucks County. It's been driven by legislators and developers, not by necessarily by local elected officials. So we're keeping an eye on that. PSAS has already voiced their opposition to it, but it could have some significant impacts on our R1, R2 zoned residential areas. If they take zoning control away from the local municipality and put it to the state level.
And it has been couched as the intent is to increase the number of houses to relieve the housing shortage.
Yes.
The problem is that while that may be true, it really kind of is short-sighted in the sense that, you know, you've all seen the HGTV show Tiny Houses, right? I'm not so sure that we want all these tiny houses popping up around the township, only from a standpoint that it makes EMS, fire services, police calls that much more difficult.
And sewer water.
Yeah.
So San Francisco is already doing that. They give permission to build ADUs, and now those ADUs, they can sell it separately.
And like ADU being ADU all, just for the folks at home, alternate dwelling units.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically like a small house in the backyard for your like mom pop house, and then they just can sell it now.
But are they doing a subdivision? So they're separating the parcel?
No. So they're just selling that.
They're doing it condos, maybe condo?
No.
How can you sell?
I'm not sure how they're going to be doing it, but it was in the news that they're going to be now selling those as a separate parcel. I don't know if it will be a separate parcel.
They can sell the building, they just can't sell the land. More like a land rental kind of thing.
So it could be like a condo, basically. Then
maybe some deed restrictions.
Could be, yeah.
Interesting.
So we don't know how that will affect them, but clearly whatever comes out of this would affect the board first, and then it would affect the zoning hearing board second.
And not being opposed to any of those things, ADUs, tiny houses, but taking that control away from the municipalities who understand the needs of their community, that's the rub. That's where I think they're misguided a bit, that they're not understanding that we're dealing with that on a local level, and we understand our communities, and for the state to have a statewide mandate that municipalities are just different, counties are different, and to think that it's a one-stop shop, one-size-fits-all kind of a mentality is...
Well, there's always been this argument about shrinking the size of the federal government and sending it back to the laboratory of innovation, which is the states, right? Well, we do the same thing for the state, and so taking that away from us prevents us from coming up with a good idea to solve some of those issues. Because now we can't, right? We have to do what the state says. And, you know, getting things through the legislature is kind of like getting things through Congress.
So. I don't think we'd actually see, in that situation, Upper Merion, tiny houses or affordable housing. You'd see one house being torn down in order to allow for four stacked townhomes, none of which would be affordable based on what most people think of as being affordable. And yes, it is being presented under the guise, as Mr. Phillips said, Supervisor Phillips said, as providing additional housing, affordable housing. And that actually leads into where I wanted to go with this, and that is to thank the Zoning Hearing Board for the variance approval for Valley Forge Presbyterian. That's an example of a local organization taking a piece of land which was not used in the most efficient manner possible within the zoning code for the most part, other than obviously a variance being needed, actually because this Board of Supervisors pushed in many respects for changes to the plan, which allowed for the setbacks. And I appreciate the decision the Zoning Hearing Board made, and also the work that was done by the applicant to answer questions of some people in the community who were skeptical or just had questions themselves. Obviously, you can't necessarily get everybody on your side, but the work that they did, I think, is exemplar for anybody else who comes before the Zoning Hearing Board as to how to deal with legitimate questions of residents who live nearby.
Agreed. I think the applicant did a fine job there.
And part of that is due to what we were talking about earlier with Mr. Jonas and having those sidebar conversations, because, you know, sadly, there's a lot of opposition at that first zoning hearing board. And they really had not talked with the neighbors. And I think once they had that conversation and started that dialogue, a lot of those neighbors who were, you know, out there with pitchforks and, you know, torches, all of a sudden were like, not so much. You know, we understand, now we get it, kind of.
And supporting the project.
Yeah, and all it took was the conversation.
Well, the general point, local decision making allows for, and local autonomy allows for local input and factoring in local variables. You take away that local autonomy and you will be subtracting the resident and neighbor input into that decision making. It'll all be lost. And we've, you know, those of us that make these decisions, as do you, we've seen how essential that local input and local variability is. To take that away would degrade the process.
Anything in addition?
No.
Well, thank you very much for the presentation and coming in and updating us on the stats, and keep doing your great work, and appreciate you being here.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for your time.
At this time, we will recess, and we will be back shortly with the Farmers Market Advisory Board. Thank you.